This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Elmetson.
And today, we are talking about Season 6, Episode 9, Neil Simon, Lover's Retreat, written by Carlos Jaycott, who we adore and need to get on this show because we love him so much. This episode was ridiculously fun. So many great memories for us. So many of our friends that came up to play with us, and we love it. Brad Turner directed this, and Tim and I tell some very fun stories about our time in Whistler, which is where we shot this. So please enjoy. So weird not seeing you for like a weekend. I literally was like, wait, what do you mean I'm not getting on a plane and we're not going to a city?
It was very strange to like not be, yeah, exactly, not traveling this weekend.
It was weird to not text you and be like, what are you wearing on the show? What am I going to wear? Let's plan it.
I actually almost texted you this morning about Oklahoma City. I thought, that's a little queer. That's not for weeks away. Like,
no,
calm down.
But I will tell you, I'm already thinking about that because it's going to be summer and it's going to be here in a second and it's going to be, and they're back to back. Like basically Oklahoma City and the PsychCon. So, and by the way, we have, you mentioned in our text that we had like two or three cities. I think we have three cities left for the tour still. Oklahoma City, San Jose. You're forgetting San Jose, I think, in August.
I meant after Oklahoma City is what I meant.
Yeah, only two, unless we get London.
London.
We're working on London Town, which we want. Anyway, Tim, I love the kind of dark denim vibe you got going on today.
Very much.
It is. It's very cool.
And you're in your
I'm in my travel. Well, here's the thing. I've been working on a self-tape all day, and I had this kind of little white turtleneck thing on, like with a blazer over it. And I've just been in it for like a few hours and I was over it. And I was like, I just want to put my cozies on. So I put my little sweatshirt. I actually do have, oops, I have jeans on, I promise. I'm not wearing the whole outfit.
You have every right to wear the whole cozy outfit.
Well, the whole outfit is so cozy. It's so cozy. And now it's going to be out of season soon because it's going to be summer.
Mm-hmm. It's never out of season. Cozy is never out of season, Maggie.
Well, that's true. But, you know, meaning like it's just going to be too hot to be wearing it.
But planes are always cold.
You make up the good points.
Here for you, my friend.
Let's dive into this episode that I forgot how much I loved. Season 6, Episode 9, Neil Simon's Lover's Retreat, written by... Aw, I love him. We should have him on.
Who wrote it?
Carlos Jaycott. I love him.
It's funny because that title is such a Berman title.
It is such a Berman title. It's very cute. But it's not Berman. It's directed by Brad Turner, who...
We have a such great separation with.
What? What's that?
In addition to the several episodes of our show that he directed, Brad directed my first episode of 24, season 5.
Mm. Amazing, Tim.
Cool, dude.
24. Okay, pineapple sighting.
I got nothing.
Same. You? While in the hot air balloon, there's a pineapple cheese knife. Wow, good eye.
I thought there was like a pineapple-looking piece of cheese in there.
Okay, the episode opens on a businessman played by the... brilliant, wonderful, and kindest human, Tony Hale, driving up a mountain. He then pulls over to see if a motorcycle couple are all right because they're on the ground and looks bad. After being conned and robbed by this couple named Barbie and Clive Noble, the two flee the scene of the robbery as they arrive at a swanky resort hotel.
A little nod to Bonnie and Clyde. I'm going to say yes.
1,000%. It's so good. Barbie and Clive. I love the almost.
Who this couple is.
Jennifer Finnegan. Yes, go ahead.
Clive is Jason Priestley. Huge heartthrob star Jason Priestley.
Yeah.
Clive, I have another psych career separation with. In the back in the year 2000, I can't believe it. There was such a year as 2000. Jason directed me in a not terribly great, I don't know if we should say that part, in a little independent film called Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye. It was a little thriller.
Wow, he directed you?
He directed me. It was one of his earlier directing gigs, I think.
I did a year, let's see, probably a year after that, or 2 years after that, I did an episode of a show he did called True Calling with Eliza Dushku. And we were love interests. I would go as far as to say it was not my greatest work. But we had a good time. He's very sweet.
Interesting.
And then he and his wife, Naomi, were like, I hung out with them socially a few times even after that. And then years went by and we reconnected on Psych. Look at Psych. Yeah, it brings everybody together.
He's a lovely guy. And
loveliest.
Super cool. Super, very sweet. Great director. And interesting that my project with him was, I was maybe probably not my best work either.
Yeah. He's just that good. He just makes everybody look bad there. After being caught, okay, they flee the scene of the robbery as they arrive at a swanky resort hotel.
Sorry, got to interrupt. Jennifer Finnegan.
Oh, and Jennifer Finnegan, who's also just the
stupidly
sweetest.
Pretty Jennifer Finnegan.
Yeah.
We have a separation with Jennifer. Of course, she is the spouse of Psych alum, our friend Johnny Silverman.
And also, they might be the nicest couple on planet Earth. They are two of the nicest people, two of the best looking people being together. We just love them.
Kind of makes me sick. They're so fantastic.
They're ridiculous. And we love them. So that was really fun that we all got to hang out and play during this time. It was awesome. Okay, so Julia and Sean have just checked into the same hotel with the help of Sean stealing Gus's credit card. The little scene where Gus and Sean have to be away from each other. What?
We skipped a big thing. We skipped the green grape where it's revealed that Julia and Sean are going on an adult getaway spa.
Yeah. A trip without Gus. It's a big one. It's a big one for them. It's a big one for us. It's a lot. So
my favorite line when Sean's discussing what the weekend's going to entail. And I think you were laying his email, which was slumber party nudie time drinky drinky.
Slumber party nudie time drinky drinky is one of my favorite. I just love that he's like, you had very high expectations of this weekend. And I'm like you mean what is it? Slumber party.
Summer party duty time.
Drinky, drinky. Yeah. Very cute. It's already in here. Juliet and Sean are there for a romantic weekend getaway, one they have promised will be completely devoid of police work.
No, you must stop. Your hair in the scene in the green grape, so spot on. My notes are a bunch of heart eye emojis.
It's good hair. It was good hair. I'm not gonna lie. Even I can say that was good. That's some good hair.
So it's in a row, really good hair with like lots of body and wave.
Yeah, it was pretty. So they're there for a getaway, no police work, and instead filled with the opportunity to take their relationship to the next level, or as Sean called it, slumber party, nudie time, drinky, drinky. Meanwhile, a lonely Gus runs into Lasseter and Henry at the grocery store.
While over a really 1980s rock guitar version of All By Myself.
I know. It's so good. So Lasseter's card has an obnoxious amount of light bulbs. Gus plays it off like he's got big plans for the weekend, saying he's going out to some hot club that night. And since Lasseter and Henry have nothing planned for the weekend, they get Gus to let them tag along at the club.
I think you have, this is not necessarily a show first, but it's almost, it's one of the rare times, one of the first times we see Lasseter in his civvies.
That is true. And it's been long time since we've seen him.
Unfortunately, I'm not wearing, rarely, I'm not, because I'm not in my dress. I'm not in a
civvies, not
civvies. Not a blue shirt, but I am in a dark blue shirt, of course. I'm still in some kind of blue. So that, yes. you can still drink. It's still in the sapphire bottle blue family, folks.
Oh, yeah. Everyone can take it. I'll take a drink, too. As Sean and Juliet check into the hotel, Juliet points out that there's an option to go for a hot air balloon ride. That's when they run into Barbie and Clive at the pool. They get to, yeah.
At the grocery stores when we see Henry, which is now we know where Henry gets those shirts.
Exactly.
So he buys his Hawaiian shirts in a grocery store, apparently.
Of course he does. They're super cheap there.
And it was a bargain. It was buy one, get one free.
Anyway, so they run into Barbie and Clive at the pool. They get chatting and eventually Sean reluctantly decides to have dinner together later that evening. This, first off, this was so fun to shoot. I'm actually giggling in this scene because they were so ridiculous. Jennifer and Jason or Barbie and Clive with their canoodling and their, oh my God, it was so much. Meanwhile, Lasseter, Gus, and Henry are out at a young hip bar and look totally out of place. They decide to make the best of it.
There's a fun psychic moment in the scene with you and Barbie and Clive.
Oh, really?
You know, it's like, it's a psychic. It's almost an insider insight. So they say that she's from Kentucky and they met.
Yeah.
So your home state and my home state.
Yeah.
All both mentioned in this quick little scene.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that.
See, this is why I'm your partner.
That's right. I didn't even catch that. Okay, so they decide to make the best of it at this club, challenging each other to be the first to score a number from a girl. You know what I learned?
Can I defer before we start the club scene?
Defer?
Not defer. Quick side note.
Uh-huh.
Well, we shot this up, and I'm sure this will be a fan question. We shot this up in Whistler, and this was one of those where it's called work, but there was quite a bit of play involved in this one. So there was a moment in the, so I came up a little early. I didn't have a lot to do with all of you. So I sort of had my stuff to work on while you guys were working on stuff. So I had several days off on this episode. But I remember walking through that spa area, seeing you and James, and you laughing at me because she's like, you've got massage face. Because I literally just come from the spa and got a massage.
Yeah, you were having a good time. We were all having a good time. I'll never forget seeing Sarah McLachlan in the middle of Whistler. Do you remember that? And we chased her down. And James went up to her and asked her to be on the show. Oh, so good. So good.
I took all my fishing gear with me. And I actually booked a fly fishing guide and went fly fishing.
I remember. It was good. Are you tired of the same old routine when it comes to grocery shopping? Do you long for high-quality meat that's conveniently delivered right to your doorstep? Look no further than ButcherBox. Introducing ButcherBox, your one-stop solution for premium meats sourced from trusted farmers. With ButcherBox, you can say goodbye to crowded aisles and hello to convenience of having top-notch cuts delivered directly to your home. ButcherBox has completely changed the way I cook and eat. It's true. The quality of their meats is unmatched and the convenience unbeatable. And here's the best part. ButcherBox offers a variety of customizable boxes to suit your preference and dietary needs. With peace of mind, you can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, which you know is my most important thing, no antibiotics or added hormones. Today, ButcherBox is giving our listeners a special offer. Use my link, butcherbox.com/pineapple, and use code pineapple to get $20 off your first order. That's butcherbox.com/pineapple, and then code pineapple. All right, surprisingly, okay, Henry's the only successful one that gets a phone number of a girl named Chelsea, played by Arden Mirren, who we love. The losers, meaning Gus and Lasseter, have to throw a barbecue the next day for Henry.
Sorry, hang on, let me catch up real quick.
Uh-huh.
It was a very important line. So, hold, please. In the club. There we are. So, Lasseter is rocking maximum Sternbush in this scene. Mm. And if you notice, Henry's got some Sternbush going as well.
Does he? I didn't notice. I only noticed Lasseter's. But no, I didn't notice Henry's. So, Henry, y'all are competing now for Sternbush, best Sternbush. I think we know who wins that. Anyway. Dinner with Barbie and Clive goes really well. While there, Sean notices the present.
Pause again. Sorry. And there is a, get ready, everybody. Settle down because there is a psychotic line libation coming up in the club scene where Lasseter says he never goes out of style. He's like pleated pants.
That's good.
Pretty psychotic Lasseter line. So drink up, y'all.
Pleated pants, definitely.
Just before he goes into.
Don't tell them.
But Lasseter's saying, is he? And trying to be a player is just.
Oh, that was good.
So,
like, did I do it right? Did I say it right? No, Lasseter. No, you didn't.
Is he
up in the hizzy? Okay, dinner with Barbie and Clive goes well. While
just he wades out into the biddies, as Dulé would say, or as
the
Gus.
Biddies. Yeah.
He takes a shot of Banaka, which is his same. We now know Lasseter's moves because it's the same thing he does when he knocks on Marlo's door. Back in This Episode Sucks.
Which is? Oh, yeah. He loves the Banaka spray. Who doesn't? There's nothing wrong with that. I think today's version of Banaca is the Listerine strips.
True.
It's just that with Banaca or Listerine strips, it's just very obvious you've just sprayed Banaca or Listerine strips. Like, it's so intense.
Did they even make Banaca still?
I don't know. Probably. It was a fave. Fan fave.
Gus goes for one of my favorites, which he goes for the Altoids.
Yeah. Altoids, you can't go wrong. Altoids are, and everybody has them, so they kind of cancel each other out. It's nice. Okay.
Conventions, basically, I always have a few Altoids in my jacket.
Yeah.
FYI.
That's smart. Yeah,
I want one. Or need one. They're just rolling around my jacket. Okay, sorry. I've really digressed.
That's okay. Are we good to move on with dinner?
It was so super stupid fun. Yes. Okay. I'll shut up. Go to the dinner, please.
No. The club scene was great. It made me realize how much I craved and missed and wanted more in the series of Gus, Lassiter, Henry outings. Like, how did we not have more of those? This was so funny and cute. You all were adorable. I don't know. I loved it. And I was like, oh man, I wish we had done more of these.
Ridiculous anyway. Level 12.
Yeah. Very cute. Okay. Back to dinner with Barbie and Clive. Okay. Goes really well. While there, Sean notices the presence of a loud Texan wearing a pistol and a $100,000 watch, mouthing off about his boxed wine business. Just then, Clive sees Jerry Kincaid, the businessman that he robbed earlier, walk up to the bar. So this was really funny because one of my favorite lines maybe in the series is after Jason says to Jennifer, you look ravishing. James says, all of your facial parts are in the right place. Oh, God. Anyway.
Pause to make me laugh out loud.
It's just
in the emojis.
It's so sweet though. You know, he's trying. It just comes out like really awkward. Anyway, so Clive knows that
line. I was like, what comedy did he steal this from?
Yeah.
James, I'm sure.
It's really good. It was James. It's probably all James. That was James too. A lot of that was James humor. Okay, Clive knows that if Jerry sees him and Barbie, that they're toast. So Clive and Barbie make a quick exit from dinner saying they have a migraine, and they agree to see Sean and Juliet for tennis the next day. Later that night, upon returning to their suite, Sean and Juliet discover they have been robbed. Sean and Juliet alert the hotel staff and give them a report of what was stolen.
I have a fact.
Yeah.
So Juliet and Sean are in room 237, which is the haunted room from The Shining.
Is it really?
It is. A few seconds later, the very next scene after they realize they've been robbed.
Oh, James, my God. I didn't even know that.
He references the Outlook Hotel or the Overlook Hotel.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, that's good. Okay. So Sean is freaking out now because it was... So not only was Gus's credit card stolen, but his precious Nintendo DS was stolen as well. Oh, he brought his DS.
Now why it's important later.
He brought his DS on a trip? Why would he do that? Anyway... Okay, Sean tries to get a hold of Barbie and Clive, but is shocked to learn that they were never registered guests at the hotel to begin with.
I have a show first.
Yeah.
O'Hara is in a very kicky tennis outfit.
Oh, yeah. It was cute. I liked that outfit.
You were adorbs in that outfit.
I that fell off the truck, and now I don't know where it is. And I loved it. Anyway, okay. Hold on. Sean realized it was Barbie and Clive who then robbed them. At the barbecue.
Sorry, prior to him realizing it was Barbie and Clive, he tries to call the Clive's room.
and he gets a big kick out of it.
Yeah, and it's the Clive's doing a bit with an accent.
It's good.
Which the accent, he was like, hello, who is this? It's like, is not German at all. It's just some weird sort of like.
It's not Clive. It's a real person. Clive's gone. They're out of there. They they've already left.
The show, we're supposed to think it's Clive. And then Sean starts seeing random German words.
And he's so funny. He gets the biggest kick out of it. Okay, now we're at the barbecue.
Sorry, eventually enters back and says a line in German. And I got to point out, Vanessa from Instagram, Schul's Happiness account, was kind of to DM me. And she translated this line. The final German line is, I demanded to know who's calling.
Oh, so they got that right. I like that. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you very much. We love that. We need to do a fan episode too. We got to do that.
I just listened yesterday to, while I was doing my walk, the indie episode with all those 350 amazing fans. And holy heck, what a great episode that was.
It was, yeah, that was good. My mom was there.
Your mom was there. It was a very special episode because your mom and Tony were there.
It was very sweet. And the crowd was so nice to them and us. Ah, I miss it. Okay, now we're at the barbecue. Gus is shocked when he gets a call from Capital One Credit Services saying that there has been some suspicious activity on his card in the Ojai area. From this, Gus realizes that Sean has paid for his weekend getaway with Juliet on his credit card and is furious. Then Henry's lady friend from the bar shows up at his home. Gus calls Sean to ream him, but Sean explains that they got robbed and that his credit card is in the hands of two criminals.
Arden is so hilarious in this entire scene where she's eating the ribs and every line she adds in was just, she is comedy gold, that gal.
She's so good. Okay, so this doesn't help the situation for Gus.
You notice I'm suddenly throughout the scene, I'm opening bottles of beer.
Yep.
Did you notice how I'm opening the beers?
I don't think so.
It's subtle. I'm going to point it out. There was no bottle opener. I was using my badge.
Oh my God. Wait, I think I did notice that. And I went over my head because I'm like, of course you would. It didn't even like stand out as oh my God, what is he doing? It was more like, oh my God, of course he's doing that.
Back in the day when my left hand was fully functional, I had a great party trick because I could open a beer with virtually anything.
Wow, Tim.
Not that I had any experience opening beer.
Put that under special skills on your resume.
Oh, it's right there. With Julie Wall.
So Gus now is even more furious. Sean asks Gus where the fraudulent charges were made, and Gus says that the thieves last used it at a winery. Sean then suggests that he and Juliet go wine tasting, completely forgetting that he and Juliet are there for a vacation and not to investigate. But I mean, I guess they were robbed now, so this makes sense.
Did you notice when Juliet is cranky with Sean, when they're talking about how enamored Sean was of Clive and feeding him dessert? And Sean's line is, I believe it was something like, I was taken by the delicious flavor.
Oh, yes, of course, because he was. That's how we do things. We're enamored by delicious flavor over here at Psych. Wait, I got to move my light. There we go. Okay, so after tasting the ribs, Lassiter and Gus decide to meet at the resort where Juliet and Sean are. They leave Henry with Chelsea, but Henry escapes her. Yes?
This really cute little outfit. I don't know what you would call it. It's sort of a jumper, right?
Wait, what?
You're in a really cute sort of vacation outfit now.
Oh, wait, we're still at the, hold on. So Chelsea is left behind. Okay, Sean and Juliet follow Barbie and Clive's trail to the winery. Yes, at the winery, Sean meets Jerry Kincaid, the businessman who's also robbed. They get to talking. Sean learns that Barbie and Clyde had robbed Jerry too. Yes, in this scene, I'm in like a, no, it's not a jumper. It's just like a,
a top and jeans, I think.
Yeah, top and jeans. They get to talking, and Sean learns that Barbie and Clive had robbed Jerry too.
Very important part. Okay, just so you're not in Pepto drink. However, your necklace and earrings are like a blush. They're like a blush pink.
It was a shirt, kind of, right?
There was some orange and pink in the top.
Like floral, yeah.
But your actual necklace and earrings are a blush Pepto drink.
Yeah. So I guess
you're welcome, right? Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's good. There haven't been a ton. Okay. They get talking. Sean learns that Barbie and Clyde have robbed Jerry too. Just then a scream is heard and a dead body of the Texan is found in a wine barrel. And that means that he was
murdered.
And with that, geez Louise, that was a good one. Juliet and Sean's romantic getaway vacation turns into a
investigation.
Murder investigation. I was giving you the murder. Just then, Henry and Lassiter and Gus show up to the crime scene. Gus immediately hands Sean the credit card statement paper trail where Barbie and Clive left. Gus is fuming over this.
Lassiter is in his casual gentleman shoe. He's in his suede box from, I believe it's Lassiter Did a Bad, Bad Thing.
Ooh, that's cool.
Which I like again, that. I have to go back to that episode. One of my favorite lines ever. You could tell that Berman, I'm pretty sure it's a Berman line.
Which one?
Talk about my casual gentleman shoes, the suede box.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't believe if it's Sean or Gus goes, what are you going to do? Go swan watching with Daisy Buchanan?
Okay, that's great.
My favorite lines in the entire series.
Okay, that's very good. Holy shit, that's very funny. That's so good.
I just went all that way around to talk about my shoe choice in this scene.
Yeah, your shoe choice is great. Okay, Gus is fuming. Lassiter shares the group shares with the group the gun the Texas was shot Texan was shot with. Sean immediately thinks it was Barbie and Clive, who used the Texan's own gun to kill him. All of a sudden, the girl from the bar arrives at the hotel following Henry. Sean and Juliet find Barbie and Clive. They insist they never killed the Texan, just stole his watch and a briefcase filled with boring papers about a vineyard.
Favorite lines in the episode is Arden's, "Hey, Pop, Pop," when she's the older woman.
She's so funny. Okay, now Sean and Juliet think it was the vineyard owner who killed the Texan because he didn't want to be forced to sell to some loudmouth boxed wine guy. They go to question him, but the owner claims he wanted to sell it to the Texan. In fact, the owner was going to sell the place to some other buyer for much less, but when the Texan offered a huge amount, he immediately agreed to the sale. Sean figures out that the person who was originally supposed to purchase the vineyard was Jerry Kincaid. Going all the way back.
Go over a little fun insider insight, fun fact about some filming of this, or actually some editing, some presentation of this episode. So has O'Hara found the 38 shell yet?
No, not yet. Yes, she has. We have. Why?
She finds a 38 shell.
Right?
And says it's from 38 Special, which is a little kind of weird thing, because a 38 is the round. The 38 Special was a type of gun. And that's when Sean has his Sean vision, realizing that he was shot with Houston was shot with his own gun, which, by the way, when they find Houston, the very cheeky line of, "Houston, we have a problem."
Yeah, good. We're good in this.
We went deep on this. So they find the 38. While Sean's doing the Sean vision of Houston's gun, it's over Lassiter talking about how a 38 is usually associated with a revolver, but it's been known to be used in automatics as well. And it's just where the editing I noticed was, just as the Sean vision is going on the gun, which is not, in fact, an automatic, not a revolver. That was some good editing over edited this episode.
I think this episode was like awesome just in general, because I feel like we got all the location stuff. We got a real resort. Like, the way we had some money to do this episode. We had some extra money, I think.
Yeah, we got to go to Whistler.
Which I'm going to get to those stories in a second. So Juliet tells Lassiter, Gus, and Henry to check out Jerry's hotel room. When they arrive at the room, they are shocked to see Jerry pointing a gun at them. When Juliet and Sean arrive minutes later, they find that Jerry had locked Lassiter, Gus, and Henry in a sauna, and fled with Juliet, asking why they didn't have a sauna in there. Hang on. Lassiter, Gus, and Henry commandeer a Corvette and chase Jerry down with the aid of Juliet and Sean, watching Jerry's car from above in a hot air balloon. One of the coolest like surveillance things we've ever done. This was actually very fun. We actually did go up in the hot air balloon. It was tethered to the ground, so we could only go so far. And I was very okay with that.
I don't think I knew you guys actually went up in a balloon.
Yeah. It went up the teeniest bit.
On this episode.
Yeah. Like, just the teeniest bit. We weren't, it wasn't super high. I think, yeah, it went up like a little bit. So it caught all of the feel of the thing, I think.
Was Ciccone up in the basket with you?
No, you'll notice we're not that high. Everything is shot like right here, like from the ground looking up at us. So when I say we were only lifted off the ground, it sort of just gave the illusion that we were floating, but everybody was right there. It was cool.
Movie magic, ladies and gentlemen.
I remember looking down at everybody. Oh, it was very cool. Anyway, so a chase ensues, and with the help of Lassiter's driving like a maniac. What?
While you guys were in the balloon, I was fishing.
Yes, exactly. And in this scene, you're driving like a crazy person. I'm sure. I was very happy to not be in the chase with you in this scene while you're in that car.
Not too unlike actually driving with me on some of our trips to go hiking.
Yes. Anyway, high-speed chase. Lassiter's able to stop Jerry's car. He arrests him, finds out. And with that, Sean and Juliet can finally finish out their romantic weekend in peace. I love all of our stuff with is it Pedro? Is it in the hot air balloon that we're just like, enough.
I just watched episode 20 minutes ago.
Sean apologizes to Juliet about work getting in the way, and that he understands Juliet meant by having an adult weekend together was to hint that she was ready to commit to marriage. Juliet quickly corrects Sean by saying that marriage wasn't her.
Walk and talk now through the whistle. Yeah. Such a scene.
It's a really good scene. And this is one of my favorite outfits I ever wore on Psych ever. I loved it. I loved this outfit. Did you know women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. Come on. It's like so obvious. They're essential. Ritual knows. So they conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results, it increased vitamin D levels by 43%. And omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. I take Ritual every single day because that stat alone means a lot to me. Vitamin D, we have like my family, we always have a vitamin D deficiency. And so it's very important to me to make sure that I get it. And I 100% trust Ritual. And now it's a part of my ritual. A clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption. Gentle on an empty stomach with minty essence in every bottle that helps make taking your multis actually enjoyable. The minty part is very nice. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO, project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp and made traceable. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/pineapple. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pineapple for 25% off. Anyway, so Juliet just says, it wasn't her intention. So Sean is shocked. Then we watch as Henry's crazy follower from the bar walks by with an even older gentleman. Back at the hotel, Gus receives Sean's...
The amazing line exchange where Sean says, I hope you look that guy when I'm 140.
And I'm like, you know, I will.
I will.
Yeah. Juliet, all of a sudden, very confident, diva-like, and I loved it. Anyway, back at this moment, Gus received Sean's Nintendo DS after it was found in a nearby dumpster by the hotel staff. Gus notices something jangling in the DS and he goes to open it, jangling, and it's an engagement ring. Gus is speechless to learn that the reason Sean was so bent out of shape about his DS, the Nintendo DS, being stolen was because he had hidden an engagement ring in there with the intention of giving it to Juliet.
Oh
yeah, this was a little weird twisty twist. I remember so many things about this episode from that trip. You know, do you remember going to the freaking ice room and Whistler?
That's where I got your profile picture.
Holy crap. Exactly. You all, there was an ice room basically in Whistler where you could go and you drink vodka.
Not unlike in Psych 3.
Yeah, that's right.
The ice bar run by Ova, named after my grandfather.
Oh, that's so good.
Just all y'all, my contact picture for Maggie is this incredible picture of her in a beautiful white parka with this amazing blue background.
It's like an Eskimo, like it's crazy. And we had so much fun. And I feel like we were already like, because James and I had done a trip to Stockholm, to Sweden that year. And we had gone all over Scandinavia. And one of our favorite places in the whole world, the most drunk, one of the most drunk times I've ever had in my life was when they warn you at an ice bar, at a vodka bar. They warn you and they literally say, like because your body temperature is cold and the vodka is cold, when you get outside, be careful how much you drink in here. Your body, it won't process it the same way. So you won't know how much you've had until you actually warm up and go outside. And boy, were they not wrong.
I would have paid so much money to see that. Was this Reykjavik?
Oh my God. What?
Was this Reykjavik or this was Sweden?
No, this is Stockholm, Sweden. Yeah, we didn't go to an ice bar in Reykjavik. We loved that. And so that just became like a fun thing. We ended up going 2 nights in a row. And then, so when we got to Whistler and it was like, there's an ice bar in Whistler. We were like, guess where we're going tonight? And so we all went to the ice bar. And then the other fun thing was, oh my God, was chasing Sarah McLachlan. We'd all had a big dinner at some great restaurant in Whistler. And if you, okay, James Rene Rodriguez loves, he was as big a fan of like Lilith Fair as any woman, you know, like he knows every singer he is. But Sarah McLachlan, I would say, just, I mean, we all know he like loves the Sundays and he loves female voices and we love him for that. But Sarah McLachlan was the, like the pinnacle, like she was it. To run into her and truly she entertained the idea. Like he was so convincing. I'm guessing it would have been what it was like when he met Kurt Smith the first time or Dana Ashbrook the first time or the way James introduces himself to a lot of people, which is just to be like, I am your biggest fan. He saw her like across the way in Whistler and like flagged her down and basically told him what we were doing. We all met her, told her what we were doing and that he was just a huge fan and wanted her to come do the show. And for whatever reason, she couldn't and she didn't, but she was so gracious and sweet. And it was a very funny moment because there was a, like, we had all had some drinks, shocker. Awesome. And I remember being like, oh, this could go really badly. Oh no. And it went great.
Her slowly backing in and backing into the hedge and disappearing like Homer Simpson in the Simpsons shot.
Exactly. Exactly that. Exactly that. But no, she was very, very sweet. Oh God, this was so much fun. And being up there with Jennifer and being up there with Jason. And I mean, I
said James, such a huge Lilith fan of Lilith Fair. Now it all makes sense why one of Lasseter's most classic, I would rather spend the entire day at Lilith Fair.
100. Exactly.
My life at Lilith Fair.
And what's crazy is that's like a true statement for Rodriguez. It's not a joke. He would like to spend the rest of his days a little bit. He's such a supporter of women's voices and women's music. So that there's that. But yes, he was a huge Lilith Fair, all of those artists fans. And, you know, Sarah McLachlan started Lilith Fair. So anyway, what? That was a...
Fun fact?
What?
Here's a little weird fun fact. Maybe not weird, but one of the highest cassette rotations during my freshman year of college was Indigo Girls.
Closer to Fine? Galileo? Come on. Romeo and Juliet? Me closer, too.
Closer to Fine. Was
Closer to Fine, yeah. That was a little later to the game on the Indigo Girls, but good God, was I a crazy fan. Okay, we have fan questions. If Jules and Sean were to become a criminal couple, what would their specialty crime be? Let's see. I think that it would be Sean pretending to be a psychic.
That's an easy answer.
And Juliet pretending to be a detective.
Or just being utterly charming all the time.
Yeah, or being his, what are they called? The, like when a magician's assistant? Is there a name for that? Something like that.
I believe it's called a magician's assistant.
The incredibly psychic duo we would be, because we would, I'm actually psychic. He would just be fake psychic. And then we'd
if you are a con person trying to like sell your wares, then you have a shill in the audience.
Sure. Oh, nice. All right. Okay. What was it like? Oh, we talked about this, filming the hot air balloon scene. Very cool. Fun. Yes, it was awkward. They asked if it was awkward. It totally was, but that's what made it fun. James and I had a ball with that scene. I remember that. I remember that day really well. I remember this whole episode. It was so much freaking... We were having so much fun at this point. Good God. Life was so good. Okay.
It was a field trip for all of us in the cast and the cast and crew.
Tim, did you really get to drive a fancy car? Somebody wants to know.
No, I did not. Even though I do drive like a maniac like that person, certainly at the time, the production was smart enough to not put me behind the wheel of that.
Oh, but good.
The shots where we're getting like the big turn. It's literally just, it's Corbin and I and Dulé sitting in the car with the camera pointing at us and just leaning one side, like yelling, like we were
actually- very hilarious. I wish I could see like the other, like somebody had taken some B-roll on that just to see what it looked like. Where would you hide an engagement ring? Oh my God. That's a good question. I don't know, Tim, where did you hide yours? Or did you not hide it?
I didn't hide it.
Okay. Yeah, I almost think like hiding it in plain sight is almost like a better than like some crazy hiding place, right? Like if you hide it in like I don't know. I'm not going to, let's say, something, what, like your toiletry, like the Q-tips box in the bathroom or something, something that like you just don't even think, although I guess that person could then like use it or see it. But I feel like it could just be in like a place that would be like, oh, they'd never hide it there because it's like completely out in the open.
Yeah, I actually don't remember. I'm sure I hid it somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think if I were going on a trip, because I was in town when I engaged Allison, as I told you all the story many times on the show. But I think if we were going out of town, I would be afraid to lose it.
Yeah, I would too. Oh my God, I'd be so afraid with travel. Oh, this is cute. Is there a nickname for Juliet's green bug? Is there?
I just call it the green grape.
I know, but didn't we have a name for this at one point? We have the green grape. And then I think it's sometime like I think I've referenced it in my own life as like the green bean or something. But like, what if should we ask psychos to weigh in a poll? Maybe and then we can pick one. We'll pick like a contest. It'll be like a little contest winner. Yeah, let's do that. Cause we don't really have a name for Juliet's green bug, and we should, because that little bee is still around. God, this was such a fun episode. I feel like I have so many other like memories from it. And like, anyway, Tim, anything else you want to add before we wrap this baby up?
No, just I can't, other than everything you've just, I concur with everything you just said. It was stupid fun to be in this beautiful location. It's like,
yeah,
these things were like, yes, for all the struggles of becoming an actor, maybe all the doubt of should I do this? This one was like, yeah, this when it pays off to get on, to be on a location like that with people you love and dear friends and making beautiful.
How lucky are we? Like, it's so crazy. Yeah, I love that. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to add, but I don't think so. And I just want to say thanks to all the psychos for listening. Thanks to all the psychos for coming out. We're going to do a fan episode coming up. We might even do a double episode with this. We might reach out to some friends and see what's with the balloons. What's with the balloons?
Did somebody, it was somebody's birthday? Or that thing,
no, let's just see. Does that do something?
I saw it too.
I don't know what caused it.
No, but that's when you text someone happy birthday, that comes up.
So, Tim, if I just say happy birthday?
I think that's when you text somebody, though.
It's on text, and congratulations. Usually has. Okay, so we're going to have a fan episode. We're going to maybe do a double up of this episode. We have obviously more live episodes coming up, and I don't know. We're just going to keep the fun going. Also, psychos, we love your feedback. So like, if you want to hear another episode, if you have thoughts about these episodes, we love it. We love your suggestions. We usually take them, and they mean a lot. So please don't hesitate. Okay, Tim, this was Lover's Retreat. And we're going to talk about it again, maybe, because I loved it so much.
Hey, and we'll talk to some of our friends from the show.
Yay. All right. Thank you, psychos. And
oh, Maggie.
What?
I forgot to ask you a very important question.
What?
We already did it. Did we just podcast the shit out of that episode?
Oh, God. Yes, we did. We did forget to ask that question.
Oh, by the
way, did.
Something else very important. I'm obviously at 6 and 7 today. You look amazing.
Oh, my I said God. That before. Thank you. I said it to you too. I like the collared shirt. I like the collared shirt. Oh my God. I look very cozy. I'm very chill today. This is Chill Mags. It's Chill Mag Day.
I love Chill Mags looks.
Yeah. Chill Mags. You look great too. And I love the background and all the Funkos and all of everything. It's so good. And all the things people have brought to all the, oh, I love it. I have my little gifties too. So cute. All right, Tim. Love you.
I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of The Psychologists Are In. Oh, this was one of our favorites, as you can tell. We had, oh my gosh, so much fun, so much partying, so much. Oh, this was such a good one. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. We love you very much. We're going to probably do a few more episodes around this episode, or maybe one more episode around this episode. And we're going to see you guys again soon. Also, we'll have a fan episode, so we'll make that announcement too. Thank you for everything, psychos. We love you so, so much. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at The Psychologists Are In and our Patreon, patreon.com/psychologistsarein.
This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them,
with a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary,
if you like to talk about fun fan theories,
if you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face,
we're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future,
Ghostbusters,
The Shining, and so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.